Now, this story takes place December of 2011 in Florida when a disturbing 911 call would be made.
Crime Hive.
A man was screaming into the line that they wanted to kill him and to hurry up, and that his name was Landy Martinez and that he needed help. Dispatchers would hear two gunshots, what appeared to be gunshots, on the 911 call, and then no more cries from the male. Because the call was made from a cell phone and not a landline, they had to use the cell towers, and they were able to find at least three satellite points for a technique called cell triangulation, which gives you the general area of where someone is located, typically around 1 to 2 blocks in this case. And so police would go there quickly and start knocking on doors to figure out where this was coming from. So while detectives were canvassing the area, another 911 call would be made from out of state. And this was a roommate of victim Landy, who was concerned because the security cameras at their residence were turned off or disconnected. The roommate was unable to reach him, and the roommate gave police the exact address. And so at this point, police were able to quickly get to that address and find the house ransacked. There were items stuffed into bags, which were placed by the door. There was a large TV on the pool table, and there was a blood trail in the hallway. And this blood trail would lead to a deceased male on the floor face down, and that would be Landy, the man who had called 911. He'd been shot in the chest and the head, and police believed this was overkill because before the shots, he was severely beaten. There were defensive wounds all over his body. There had been adhesives on his wrists and ankles, and it looked like he had been hogtied with duct tape. And it appeared the suspect or suspects had tried to get him to drink Drano. So they tried to force Drano down his throat. He had been shot with a .380 caliber gun. There were two shell casings left behind, but no gun was there. Police also found a cell phone stuffed under a mattress. And that cell phone contained the video of a very terrified Landy. He had been speaking in Spanish and appeared to be apologizing. It appeared he was being forced to apologize for something. Police ruled out robbery because it didn't appear to be the motive. It appeared that the suspect or suspects wanted him dead and they really wanted him to suffer. And so they start piecing together more about the victim's background. And they learned that he had rented the house, he had moved to St. Petersburg, and was working in an assisted living facility. He appeared to love everyone, didn't have any enemies, but police would learn that there was someone trying to kill him. They started with the 911 call. He had referred to they were trying to kill him. So immediately police think there might be more than one person. Furthermore, neighbors saw two young men unfamiliar to the area the morning of the murder. Not much of a description, so police still don't have a lot to go on. So they really try a couple different forensics techniques, and they look at the duct tape. There was duct tape in the shower where he had made this terrified video. It seemed he was in the shower, and there was still duct tape in there. And so what police did, the duct tape was all mangled, you know, it was all knotted up, and they needed to straighten it out so they could try to get fingerprints. Duct tape tends to be a very good source of fingerprints because of the material. And so what police did, what forensics did, is they would use liquid nitrogen to freeze the duct tape. Once they freezed it, they were able to then pull the tape apart and then use magnetic powder to fingerprint. All of that work didn't amount to much. They weren't really able to get much from the duct tape. They did get a partial print from some of the duct tape, but it just wasn't enough for any type of identification. Then police start looking at his cell phone, the victim's cell phone, and they see that there had been text messages. And he apparently was with a man named Jonathan Galicia, if I'm saying that correctly. And they were kind of, you know, having some on and off issues. Police looked into him, but he ended up getting ruled out. You know, he was working at the time. His phone was 60 miles away at the time of the crime. They quickly eliminated him. But they learned that the victim had also recently broken up with another male. And this male had even lived at the same place where the crime occurred. And this man was named Jose Adame. Police didn't have any idea where he was, but they wanted to find him because it seemed as if the person knew the victim. The surveillance cameras were disconnected, and it just suggested the person would have to be familiar with that particular house. They start looking for Adame. They keep looking into the background situation, and they learned there had been a disturbing issue with the victim and Jose. They had purchased a car together, and a month before the murder, the victim broke up with Jose, and there was jealousy. The roommates were worried over Jose. They feared him. They were actually worried that something bad might happen, which is the reason they got the security cameras up in the first place. What happened was the car was registered to the victim, but Jose, the suspect, actually took off with his vehicle. And when he did that, he started running the vehicle through multiple red light cameras and just racking up all of these fines. The registered owner of a vehicle has to pay those fines. So Jose did not have to do that. Instead, the victim had to pay for all of these fines, who is Landy Martinez. So Landy Martinez needed to figure out something because he was in a tough position. He didn't want to get back together with Jose. So he created a ruse, pretending that he wanted to get back together with him and to come back with the car. Well, Jose shows back up with the car, but a deputy was there. The victim was trying to get his car back, but instead Jose just drove off with it again, apparently left to North Carolina, where he has relatives. So police want to interview this suspect, Jose. He's apparently in North Carolina, said that he had been there the entire time, and police interviewed him. Well, police already knew from cell phone records that Jose was not in North Carolina. The cell phone towers showed that he had been in the area of the crime scene the day of the murder. They confronted Jose with that knowledge. And when Jose learned about the evidence police had, he physically became ill and started throwing up multiple times. Police had also learned from other witnesses that saw him in Florida around the time of the murder with a teenager, and that they were driving a black SUV in Florida around the time of the murder. The crazy thing about this story is this 16-year-old was never convicted because they just didn't have enough evidence on this person. So this person was not convicted, and they're free to this day. But when it came to Jose, the ex-boyfriend, they found more evidence that would tie him to this crime. They found in the black SUV that he was driving, they found duct tape that was identical to the type used on the victim. They also found on the steering wheel blood that would match Landy, the victim. Jose said he had never been in that vehicle before, but they'd connected him to that vehicle. So with all that circumstantial evidence that I mentioned, he would be arrested for murder. In July of 2016, he would be convicted of first-degree murder. And he would serve life in prison without parole. And that was how he was caught. Crime Hive.